He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guest.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader, live here from Fashion Furniture for another edition of Behind the Bench. We are here. We are enjoying the time that we have here on this July 31st. That's right, July 31st, which means only one thing could be dominating the news waves today. The MLB trade deadline literally is just passed a couple of minutes ago. So I will try to keep you brevy of all of the trades that just came down the last 30-ish minutes or so. Fast and furious. Here we are here on this MLB trade deadline. But first, we are live from Fashion Furniture. Big thank you to Fashion Furniture for hosting us today for our edition of Behind the Bench. Fashion Furniture, you've heard the expression, time flies when you're having fun. Well, it's been 65 years for Fashion Furniture, and it's time to celebrate with savings throughout the store for this fashion's anniversary event. Great values throughout the store, special purchases, reclining furniture, and they can even design your home. Plus, special gifts to all those celebrating 25, 35, 45, 55, and how about 65 years of marriage? The Fashion Furniture 65th anniversary celebration, there's nothing like it in all of California. We are here live, like I said. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous segment. Tony D, of course, part of our program, ESPN programming. Tony D, of course, goes from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here on 1430 ESPN. If you missed any of his show or listened to it live on 1430 ESPN app, 1430ESPNFresno.com, or just 1430 AM as part of that family of ways you can listen to our shows. Of course, it is a wonderful time to be a sports fan right now. Like I said, trade deadline here is arrived. It is here. It is ready to roll. And like I said, we're going to get to all of those trades. More sponsors to get to, of course, is Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430 is the way to reach us on the show via phone line. So Lee's Air Hotline, the way to get into the conversation here on the show. I invite you always to be a part of the conversation. More than welcome to tell me I'm wrong on something or tell me that you have a different opinion. We want to hear from you. Come on, Fresno. Come on, Central Valley. Bring it to you. The Lee's Air Weather Check. We sit at 97 degrees here in the Central Valley, up to 98 at some point today as well. We'll crank up to 99 tomorrow, back down to the mid to low 90s by the start of next week, and then the warm temperatures will rise by the tail end of the week. I'm not trying to provide bad news, but it looks like it's going to be a little warmer for the Shakira concert on next Thursday. Still, I think, regardless of the temperature, Fresno, we've been built up for Fresno State home games before. I think you'll be fine for a concert in the middle of August. So we are here, like I said, and it's an exciting time. Big thank you to me and Ed's Pizza for providing the pizza today, as always. Me and Ed's over to my right, and you could enjoy that while you're here listening to the show for 2 hours today, where you're going up till 5 o'clock today. 5 o'clock, that's right. It's the Hall of Fame game tonight on 1430 ESPN. We are airing that first game of the NFL preseason on our airwaves, the Hall of Fame game. Should be a lot of fun. Lions and Chargers, that's at 5 o'clock today on 1430 ESPN. So good to be broadcasting that one. And over on 790 later tonight, we will have the Grizzlies, the Fresno Grizzlies baseball on our airwaves. Them versus Rancho Cucamonga at 6:35 pregame with a 6:50 first pitch. So that's what we've got on there as well. So That is what's coming up on the docket after our show today. Of course, what do we have on the docket for our show right now? The next 2 hours, what are we going to be chatting about? Of course, we've got MLB trade deadline. Like I just said, a flurry of moves just in the last 5-10 minutes. I'm just looking at it right now. A lot of things updating that I'll have to get you to, including Dodgers trades, including Red Sox trades, Giants trades, A's trades, a lot of players on the move as far as that's concerned. I'll give you that right now and keep you updated on all these. We'll call all these updates a top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure. Paul Metters is going to be joining me here in about 10 minutes or so to talk about the high school season coming up. So Paul will hop on the mic with us and be discussing all of that. We have the 50 states and 50 days trivia, a couple of states to get to today, Minnesota and Ohio. And so we'll have fun with that. NFL preseason opening up tonight. We'll talk about that. Fresno State opponent preview. We had to put it on the back burner yesterday. Obviously, we were at Rams training camp, so didn't want to waste time talking about Fresno State over there. We'll talk about Fresno State today, including a couple opponent previews. We'll go dissect Colorado State and San Diego State. And then we'll just wrap up the show, get you set for the evening, and get you on to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game, like I said, there on 1430 ESPN. All right, so what do we have on the docket for this as far as this concern? Well, let's go through it. I don't know how I can effectively give you this information that I'm looking at here as far as that's concerned. I think the big story right now from the Giants' perspective, Giants just traded Camilo Doval to the New York Yankees. I don't believe I have a package yet on who is being traded back to the San Francisco Giants in terms of this. It looks like Yankees are going to acquire Camilo Doval, so there goes a big piece of the Giants bullpen there. Giants are trading away a couple bullpen pieces. Like they said, they did Tyler Rogers yesterday. They do Camilo Doval today. So those are the moves the Giants have made, just a couple of subtractions to the roster in terms of that. Dodgers are trading away Dustin May to the Boston Red Sox. Dustin May is heading to Boston. The Dodgers are acquiring James Tibbs III, who was that big prospect in the Devers trade, is going to L.A. So now that is part of the Dustin May trade. So the Red Sox sending James Tibbs III to the Los Angeles Dodgers in part of that package for Dustin May. Looking at other trades around the league as far as that's concerned. I know the A's, last night we were listening to the A's game on our show, on our drive back from L.A., and we saw Mason Miller was traded out of Sacramento. The A's are sending him to San Diego in terms of a package that includes the number 3 prospect in baseball, Leo DeFries, is going to the Athletics. So big package there. I see a lot of Padre fans not too happy about the package maybe being sent for a Mason Miller type. And Mason Miller is a good reliever, but is it worth it for a reliever? And maybe there's an idea that the Padres could maybe make him more of a starter down the road. It could be possible, although I'll say this, the Giants fans know this firsthand. Jordan Hicks was not quite the experiment that it should have been as far as working that out. So be forewarned if you're trying to turn Mason Miller into a starter. Trying to look at some other moves throughout the day, some big ones. Obviously, Carlos Correa is a headliner that goes to Houston. That was a couple hours ago. I see Charlie Morton on the move to Detroit. I see Taylor Rogers, who was a former Giant last year. He was on the Reds this year, was traded to Pittsburgh last night, and now he has been traded today to the Chicago Cubs. That's a quirky move for him to be a Pirate for literally a cup of coffee there. So that's what's going on there. And if I miss anything as far as it's concerned, of course, you got to understand I am trying to keep track of it all here at the top of the show. Like I said, some big trades, big some moves. One of those names that did not get traded appears is Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward staying pat with the Los Angeles Angels. I know Fresno State people paying attention to what he's going to be doing, but it's going to be him with the Angels. The Angels seem to be buying, apparently, at this trade deadline. They acquired a couple of relieving arms, and so they feel like it is their time to go. And so they're keeping a lot of the rental players. No Kenley Jansen on the move. No Yoan Makata on the move. So the Angels are trying to win. Trying to win, it appears, even despite being five games back. The Padres acquiring Nestor Cortez from the Brewers. That's an interesting one. As far as the starting pitching depth, the Padres have been making a lot of moves today. I know they acquired they acquired Ryan O'Hearn today. They acquired Ramon Laureano from the Orioles today. So those are some big names on the move as well. Going back to the Athletics, another Athletic on the move. Going to the Reds is Miguel Andujar. He had a couple of home runs last night against Seattle. We were hearing it last night. So Andujar, a piece going to the Reds as far as the move is concerned. So just a few of the moves that have been on this on these last hour or so as far as that's concerned. And we'll see if there's anything that trickles through as far as that's concerned. Griffin Jacks going to Tampa in a trade, exchanging it for Taj Bradley, who's going to Minnesota. Interesting trade there. And I think a name that was omitted, it was tied to the Giants a lot if they were going to add, was Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan stays put with Cleveland in that situation as well. So Stephen Kwan not traded the trade deadline. I almost felt like he was going to be traded more than what Carlos Correa was going to look like as far as that's concerned. But Stephen Kwan not going to be traded at this trade deadline. He does have a lot of control on his contract moving forward. I got to imagine there was a high price for Stephen Kwan, and I'm curious to see what that'll look like and what his suitors will be maybe in the offseason if there's another push for it. Maybe the Giants do push in the offseason for that as well. A lot of talk of Dylan Cease being traded. He is staying with San Diego, so San Diego is going to keep Dylan Cease on the roster as well. I think a lot of people were thinking he was going to be on the move as far as it's concerned, but he stays there as well. So I'm just spewing a lot of moves right now. I'm spewing a lot of trades on the docket that I'm seeing, like I said, on the Twitterverse here. So I'm just trying to keep you in tabs with everything. I'm sure ESPN updates have been keeping you in tabs with all of that earlier today as well. So just keep it right here, and we're going to keep flowing in these streamlined information to you if we see any more things pop up for it as well. So busy day. The trade deadline, we'll see if anything makes any trades impact what happens with this baseball season. I've said this numerous times about this MLB season as a whole. One of the most interesting races to a World Series title I've seen quite in some time. Feels very open in terms of where the top eight are in Major League Baseball, that I feel like there's a big cluster that sits up there, top eight, top nine teams who are all capable and vying for it. Doesn't feel like there's a major front runner, even though I know everyone thought the Dodgers had that opportunity. Seems like they've regressed a lot from where we kind of expected it to. Who knows what this Ohtani situation was from last night with him getting pulled in the game. I can't imagine it was too serious, but we'll see how it all turns out. But it feels very open, and I don't feel like anybody has pulled away in any sense with these trades. Maybe the Padres with the most splash, but it feels a little desperate in this situation. But maybe the Padres are there to make a run. But other than that, trade deadline, fascinating. Fascinating time here in sports as far as that's concerned. Gotta love it. Now let's play some baseball for the next 2 months and see where it all stands by the time we get to October. All right. We're just getting started with the show. Like I said, we're here at Fashion Furniture, and we're going to talk to a guy who's probably been dying to be on the 1430 airwaves for quite some time. He's been on break for a while, so we dragged him out of his summer hibernation, and we're going to bring him back on air here next. Paul Metters is going to join us next on the show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are here live from Fashion Furniture. Breaking news. I told you trades are going to be coming in hot and ready. Giants have traded Mike Yastrzemski to the Royals. So that is a trade that has happened at the buzzer. So Mike Yastrzemski no longer a San Francisco Giant. It'll be him to the Royals. So we're reacting to that news as we continue on. And we're pleased to be joined by Paul Metters as we break that news right here live on air. Paul, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Good to hear you. Good to see you. How you been?
Fantastic. And you got to, man, you got to talk about this shirt that I came rolling the fashion shirt. Furniture on.
The vintage Mickey Mantle.
The 1952 card. Mickey Mantle shirt, the Topps card. Yeah, I mean, the big thing that happened this summer in my life is a 25th wedding anniversary. It's not till September, but thanks. My wife and I are both in education, so we're like, let's do something big this summer, right? So we could go to Europe, go to Hawaii. Like, those are a couple things on the table. Like, how about New York? Let's go check it out. So we were there for four nights, saw a couple shows, saw the Mets and Angels, saw Alonzo hit a home run, and Mike Trout hit a bomb,
saw
too.
That was
awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic trip. Central Park, I mean, we did everything on this New York trip. So, yeah, came back with a couple pieces of MLB stuff, about a couple other shirts as well. But, yeah, sporting the 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle shirt.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing well, and the New York trip is fantastic. I saw it from afar on the Instagram. So
I think you asked me to come on the show, I think,
like, I did
the Tuesday. I think we were in flight or something like that. I get back, and Phil, I wish I could. I'd love to get back on the airwaves, but we are en route to New York City.
Well,
but,
of course.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on.
Well, glad to have you on, and let's be frank, we're getting you back ready for Central Valley Sports Report, which is in about 9 days from today, so I figured this was a good time to get you back, get you warmed up to the 14th. Not that it take you much to warm up for the 1430 airwaves, but it's exciting because it's right around the corner.
It is, and today I actually started my practice tour that I like to call, where I go to some early morning practices and talk to the coaches and check things out, snap a few pictures, post. I'm going to post some stuff on Twitter. But, yeah, today I was able to go check out Clovis West. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Central. Next week I'm going to check out Bullard. Clovis North does their practices at night, so I'll be able to check that out. You know, hit a lot of the local schools. So, ready or not, here it comes. August 22nd is going to be the first round, week one. There's no week zero, right? Throw
Friday
that week zero
lights.
Stuff yes. out the window. A lot of scrimmages the week before where they're putting on pads, they're scrimmaging other schools, hitting each other. It's here, Phil.
Have I revealed the game? Maybe I'll save it at the end of the segment of what our first game is. Because
we could say the date.
We could say the date, August 22nd. Yeah. We're locked in. Unfortunately, it's just going to be you and I. No Pat. Pat's going to be in Kansas. Pat Hill's going to be in Kansas.
He's got something cooking there.
Week zero, that special week zero thing. But Pat will be on the call. I can officially say, by the way, Pat Hill's going to be on the call again
this season
for select games. So I'm excited to bring that to him. There's a lot of excitement around this season, of course, in the high school season. I was talking with Gabe a couple of days ago about Fresno State, and of course I had to mention some of the high school stuff coming up, and I find this, because now I have the idea of what to expect with this high school football season specifically, because I've seen what we've seen from the year before. A lot of drastic change from a lot of the teams around, except for one, I would say. There's one that is clear and above, has the most consistency, and ironically enough, they changed their name. So, and I'm alluding to Central East, of course. So it's an interesting dynamic going into this new season.
It is, and I'm referring back to my show notes with some of my rankings, and yeah, I have that highlighted, the Central Bengals, right? So I'm going to have to make sure we saw the Central East Bengals. I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Davidson, he's a fantastic sports writer for the Sacramento Bee. That guy's one of the best in the state. And Central's going to be playing Grant in week two. And he made a tweet about, you know, the Central section foe, the powerhouse that Central is. And I don't know if I subtweeted or what I did, but I said, hey, Joe, yeah, we're excited for that game as well. It's up in Sacramento. I said, just be prepared that Central East is now the Bengals, so don't get confused, which I think a lot of people,
I'm confused.
To be honest.
I'm still confused.
confused why they chose it, but I think a lot of people are going to be confused who the Central East Bengals really are.
Yeah.
Right, the team that won the state championship in 2019, right? It's the school that was in a state championship last year. That's, yes, the powerhouse from the Central section.
Well, that was the whole trick.
It's the Bengals, but they're the Grizzlies. So I think people are going to come in and like, oh, the Bengals, is that like some new startup school? No, this is a legit the legit team.
Well, that was the thing. That's the trick of what I was trying to do with the Friday night like schedule is, of course, like, who am I scheduling? I'm making sure I got the team I want,
yeah.
Which, you know, of course, Coach Biggs, his program, that's a team you can't ignore, especially with what we saw last year against Clovis East, especially in that Central Section title. And, of course, we know the firepower that they have coming back. Seems like it's a lot of the same faces. It seems like a team on a mission. It seems like it is poised to be a team that could be considered one of the great teams that we've seen in quite some time.
I agree. So we know the success of, you know, Clovis North a couple years ago and what they did, and then obviously we're talking about Central. So they returned pretty much everybody. And I remember, you know, back when a lot of these kids were freshmen, saying, yeah, just wait till these guys are juniors and seniors. They're going to be legit, legit. I think a top 10 team in the state as far as preseason rankings go. And knowing Coach Biggs and when he has a team, it's just, again, thinking about that 2019 team, a Central Section championship is a goal, but they're thinking higher from day one, right? They want that state championship. And they're loaded for it. I mean, they were just a couple plays from winning it last year. So they're going to be one of the top teams in the state. And right now on paper, and, you know, I'm going to be watching them tomorrow at practice. They're definitely the team to beat this year in the Central Section.
I know you go through like your power rankings and all that stuff, and maybe I'm going to do it in my head right now from the teams and perspective of what we're looking at. I think the next team to talk about is a team that does return a lot too, especially with a quarterback who's poised to be a guy who is going to validate what his hype has been, which I think Clovis High with Deegan Rose. I think I've heard a lot of him, and this feels like a year. I hate to say got to have it year for Clovis, but it feels like a year where it's like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this year.
Well, when you have a freshman starting quarterback like Deegan was against Long Beach Poly, and you're like, well, what tells the senior? There's, you know, Maddox Merrill was a freshman on that team as well. Like, you follow these kids, you know, for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and now this is their last year. This is their final hurrah. And, you know, they've been looking forward to this year for a long time, the people around Clovis High too. So this is the year that they really need to do something. They had a couple other pretty good pieces, but, you know, we've seen in the last couple of years as well, a little bit inconsistent, right? Sometimes they look like, oh, how our team's going to stop these guys.
Yeah.
And then they'll lay an egg the next week. So, you know, this is a year that we're going to be talking a lot about Central, as we just did, but, you know, Clovis High, they're going to be, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 4. I think in preseason rankings, their non-league schedule isn't super tough. And that's kind of been the case for the last couple of years as well. Again, we could go back to that Long Beach Poly game. But this is a season that Clovis High has looked forward to for a long time.
I am also very excited for I can't wait to see what this team looks like, because we had the grace of seeing them first week last year and playing, I think, our most thrilling game of the year that we saw. I don't think a game topped it in terms of the drama and the maybe slight controversy with it as well. But Clovis West is a team that I think has a lot of intrigue just based off of what is coming back for them. And I think a lot of people are projecting them to be a team that is on the rise and is a program that's on the rise with what they're building.
Well, if you are on the social media at all, you know what J.J. Howard, the sophomore, sophomore quarterback, was able to do this summer, the camps that he attended, the offers. I mean, Oregon State, Oregon offered him. Fresno State offered him after the 7-on-7 camp about a month ago. They're going to be fun, and I got to watch them with my own eyeballs. Obviously, it's 3 weeks before the season starts, and they're not going to be showing everything. But hey, they got a lot of pieces in place. And then, you know, Lee, the running back, he's a sophomore too. He's going to be a Division I guy. How about this, Rolando Jefferson?
Yeah,
he's a name that people are going to be hearing more about. He's got offers from Fresno State. They offered him too after that 7-on-7. Colorado State offered him. He has not played a varsity game yet. He's not played a varsity game. He already has Division I offers.
Wow.
Played at Central on the JV team as a freshman. Sat out last year due to injury. That's how talented he is. He's about 6'3", long, long arms, long strides. So, yeah, Clovis West has some dudes in place. And a little bit of a question mark with them is offensive line. And I got to look at them, too. They got They got five or six guys that look like offensive linemen.
Some people movers, for sure.
Yep.
And there's some fascination about where some the teams with the question marks, which ironically enough they didn't have many question marks a year ago, but like the Clovis Easts and the Clovis Norths, who we know are going to have to replace some legit dudes who are doing it for a while for them. And the question is, what is that going to look like? And there can be possibility of that for them, but what is going to be interesting about those two teams?
Yeah, first of all, two new coaches.
Yeah.
Right? Two new different styles of offense. Colby Hunter goes in at Clovis North. He was offensive coordinator at Clovis East. So they're going to go from, the ground game that we've seen the last 2 and 3 years to more of a spread attack. Clovis East with George Petrosan as their coach. They're going to look different as well. And that's the parity, I think, that we're seeing in high school sports these days is, Clovis East and Clovis North were on top the last few years, and now some things are going to be reversed. Clovis West took their lumps last year, right? They start off with, you mentioned that incredible game against Huntington Beach, yeah, who ended up beating Central
right. In
the state championship game, which is wild. But, yeah, I honestly don't know what to expect with Clovis East and Clovis North. I really don't, not until first game or two, or are we going to get even a little bit of a pulse of what they're going to show?
Yeah, I'm interested. I mean, we know what, I think Jamie Spurgeon's an intriguing mm-hmm. kind of athlete who we saw in baseball season. We've seen him do what he did at football side of things. He is a much different quarterback than what Miller was as far as that's concerned. So it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. I'm curious about Bullard. Because I hear a lot about Bullard and returning a lot of guys, too. I've been told from a few people that, hey, watch out for what Bullard can do this year. Are you hearing some rumblings about
it? I am, and they're on my list as well for checking out their practice next week. Coach Franklin took over the program. His son Tyler had a really good season last year. Unfortunately, we watched that. We broadcasted that Clovis game.
And let's be fair, Clovis East was.
Was it Clovis East?
Yeah, Clovis East was doing that to everybody.
Yeah, he had a rough time in that game, but hey, you give that kid some time, and he's got some speed as well. So yeah, I mean, as far as C-Mac, right? C-Mac's going to be interesting this year. I think that you think about Sanger, but Bullard. I think Bullard's gonna turn some heads this year.
Yeah, Bullard. I know Madera's in there mm-hmm. as well, and what they're bringing back. I know Madera, obviously, with the heartbreak of coming off of that loss with Kerman. I'm curious what Kerman's going to look like this year with what they're bringing back. I know there's some running backs that we missed the graduation, so I'm curious to see what that's going to look like, the new crop of young, talented running backs that come in, because it feels like every year these teams kind of reload in that sense. Selma lost a great running back, and Jacob Hernandez, just thinking back to some of the athletes of the weeks that we've had as far as that's concerned. I'm curious about Donnie Arax, the CBC team that's coming in, and what he's actually trying to build with that team as well. Is there a team or two, or on the outskirts that are people that are like, you've been kind of eyeing them for a few years, and maybe this is like a, I need to look at these kind of guys. I need to see what this team is going to look like, because I don't think enough people are talking about them.
I think a couple teams in Bullard are Bakersfield area that I want to mention really quick. Frontier, I'm hearing good things about them. They got a lot of new players. Liberty and Bakersfield is always going to be tough. Tulare, so there's like a three-school group that is going to be pretty intriguing this year. Hanford, Tulare, and Redwood.
Yeah.
Tulare is returning some dudes. Jordan Crisp led the state in passing a couple years ago. He's a senior. They got a couple really good athletic wide receivers. I think two of them have D1 offers. They're going to be interesting to watch. Hanford, there's going to be a drop off from last year's team, but they with Coach Cannon Sanchez's type of offense, they're going to be scoring a lot of points. Redwood is intriguing. They got a new coach. They got a couple D1 transfers. They got Israel Briggs, who comes from Mount Whitney. He's committed to the University of Miami, 6'5", 220-pound receiver / tight end. Are they going to be, like, contenders in D1? Are they going to be even able to keep up, with the even the Buchanans? We haven't mentioned Buchanan. They're going to be tough this year. They're going to be, again, Division One is going to be in two the A and the B. Is that what we're calling it? Is
that
what
we did? Yeah, we were doing, right? So A, like, or double A or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Yeah. So there's going to be eight schools in each. So you know, they're probably vying for that, you know, the bottom tier, so to speak.
Yeah.
If you want to tier Division One. So I'm interested in those three schools. I think they're gonna be fun teams to watch.
It's gonna be interesting, and I think the talent. I think if you had to look at it, it's a little more equitable, I feel like, this year as far as the talent level. We know what we have at the top, but I don't feel like there's a whole – I feel like the floor's higher as far as that's concerned when it comes to the teams we're going to sit. Like a McLean, who had a really good year last year. I like to look what they did. Curious what Sunnyside's going to look like after some of the changes there as well. So there's a lot to kind of pay attention. Madera South's an interesting spot as well with where they're set up as far as that's concerned. So many different kind of aspects.
And like Kerman last year, right? Like I knew Kerman, and Coach Damon Jenkins is a phenomenal coach, right? Yeah. And I knew Kerman was going to have a good team. Did I think they were, you know, going to play in a state championship game and beat Madera, you know, for their first football title in school history? Not really, right? There's all these teams that, and even Selma.
Yeah.
Selma was not even, I'll be honest, right? Selma was not on my radar last year. Yeah. But awesome. Winter Valley title, right? So
what about Kalinga? Kalinga.
We kind of knew Kalinga was going to have a good team last year, but there's always these schools that you're like,
Lindsay,
you know, and Lindsay, yeah, good failure. It's all coming back to you, right? But there's usually one school that just is like, oh, man, these guys are good. You know, they're 6-1, 7-1. All of a sudden, you know, at the end of the year, they're 9-1 in the top seed. So that's one of the great things about high school sports.
High school's coming back in general. I mean, when you think of the state of high school and things that are changing, obviously, and things that are maneuvering with the CIF, what do you think this year? Because there's so much that they have to balance with what's going on every year, and everybody has ideas of how things can kind of go for the CIF. What do you make of what this year is going to look like for them? And is there anything that people should know from what you're hearing going into the CIF season?
Yeah, and I know the commissioner's office does a fantastic job of communicating and being transparent. Heck, you can email the office and they're gonna respond to you, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I appreciate. That there's gonna actually be a media day. It's a couple weeks on a Friday,
like August 15th, I think.
I believe so.
Sounds right.
Something that I'm gonna be able to go to. So hopefully you can join us there. But they do a good job of answering any questions from media members. People are invited to that. So yeah, there's always gonna be a few tweaks. Is the playoff system in any sport perfect? No, I mean, only the NCAA March Madness, I think, is about perfect. And I hear they're trying to expand that, too. So, competitive equity is a huge buzzword everywhere.
Yeah.
Businesses, sports. And that's kind of the umbrella that's at the state office. It trickles down. And so, you know, with the divisions, the base divisions, is it fair? Is it not? They're always trying to make it better. And I think one of the misconceptions out there for people, you know, I see it all on Twitter, is they don't understand the process. There's committees, there's votes by athletic directors. It's not like the commissioner office say, you know what, we're going to change this. Okay, boom, write it into our bylaws. There's a process There's a whole deal to this.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's going to be a few tweaks. I think for football, don't quote me on this yet. We'll find out more on that CF day. But I think it's going to be a 30% percentage win rate to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few other things that are going to change things, but it's going to be a fun year. CIF office is in it for the kids. And that's, to people like you and I, it's out there. Right. And we get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Certainly. It's exciting. It's exciting to see what it's all about as far as it's concerned. I think there's a lot of conversation, a lot of participation. You know, what's encouraging is that because people are so passionate about it, at least if we hear the noise that people are passionate about it, then people are going to care about it as far as that's concerned. I'd rather that than just complacency and like, well, it is what it is. Here we go as far as that's concerned. So it's exciting. Paul, I have the first game. I think I can tell
you're
gonna
you. You're
going to do it? I think we're going to. I mean, of course.
Well, you're scheduling it, so why not?
Well, I mean, what better way to maybe start than with the champs at the top of our high school season. So I believe I have this right. I have the right Central team playing their home opener.
I confirmed it, yeah.
The home opener against Inglewood Inglewood. Did you hear anything about Inglewood? I saw they were a top 25 team in the state last year. Pretty decent program down there in SoCal. They're coming up to take on the Bengals.
The Bengals. And, yeah, it's going to be a battle. Again, Cal High Sports to me is the number one website. So subscribe to them. It's like $6 a month. That's nothing. So they're going to be coming out with their preseason rankings. And I anticipate both Central and Inglewood to be in the top 15 in the state.
Yeah.
So week one, right? It's going to be on everybody's radar in the state and right here in the Central section. So you're going to be on the call, right, Phil?
I will be.
Can I join you?
Yeah, I think you're allowed.
Yes, I'm in. Yes.
I think we're good to go. No, it's exciting, Paul. It's exciting to be back for another Friday Night Lights, and from starting a game like that to like ending the game, ending our season in absolute sheer cold of Madeira.
up on top of the press box
with a lantern. I was trying to make sure we see our shot sheets, our play sheets, as far as that's concerned. But it's exciting stuff. Paul, I don't know if I got any much more for you. For the Fresno State side of things, are you excited about this season? And we're still in a quarterback battle. Are you rooting for the local guy to win it, or are you just hoping the best guy wins?
Best guy wins, right? And Jaden Mandel, he's a great kid, local kid, grew up loving Fresno State. So you always root for your local kids. But I need to study more of the roster. I mean, as far as local kids this year for Fresno State, there's more coming.
I think there's a Buchanan lineman, true freshman, who's going to be.
I think he's going to start.
Sounds like he's going to win an offensive lineman job, left tackle, which is unheard of, I would say.
Well, he's 6'7", 280 or something. I mean, he's a low. So I'm pumped. I have season tickets. I've had season tickets for the last 10 years. We make a big deal about it. It's I'm looking forward to it. Have you been able to check out a practice or two yet?
I went last Friday just to kind of observe. It was very good atmosphere. Guys were coaching up each other, very collaborative effort amongst players in terms of coaching themselves up. I like the vibe of the coaches. You know me, I really enjoy what Coach Entz and his style and how he goes about his business, and I think these guys are focused, and I think they're ready. I think they're ready to go ruin the home opener of Kansas in week zero, which is exciting. It was so strange for me because in my head I'm like, this is just not the right week it usually starts in. It's just a whole week earlier. So everybody's clock is all screwed up with the Fresno State team right now.
I know, our internal clocks, yeah. Right? And it's going to be the day after opening for
Friday
high school
Night Lights
as well.
Right into Kansas, Fresno State the next day.
What is that game time for that?
I think it's like 2 o'clock, I think, or something.
Our time, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, I think it's a Fox broadcast national.
Okay.
So it's on the big national TV, just like last year. We opened up with Michigan on the big national, so we'll take it there. Paul, where can people find you? What can people follow for seeing what you're doing there? Well,
on the Twitter, it's at Paul Matters X. All right, that's another thing. We got to get used to saying Central East Bengals. But, yeah, X, at Paul Matters, PaulMeadorx. I got an Instagram stuff. You will see my New York City trip pictures, man. Just go to my Instagram account, at Paul Matters X. So you can see all those. Yeah, you can find me there. And then, you know, if you want to be a Facebook friend, just put my name in the search engine. But yeah, Phil, like you, you know, to me, August, which is going to be August 1st, it's signifies lots of things, right? The start of school, it's my birthday month, and being on the airwaves with you, looking forward to it. So the grind is going to begin soon enough. Yeah. So if it's not already here.
Yeah.
It's grind for you. I mean, you just came back from Los Angeles.
We're grinding. We're officially in the grind. I got my grind. You know, I got my grind shade on. I got red all over my arms right now from yesterday. UV index 10. I ignored the warning.
But you always wear a hat. You're a smart guy with a hat. You're a hat guy.
Yeah, I'm a hat guy. We survived a tsunami warning yesterday in LA. I remember that too. So we're going through it. We're in the grind. As far as that's concerned. All right, Paul. Appreciate it. By the way, our teams traded with each other. You feel good about it?
Dustin May
for a James Tibbs III.
I mean, what was Dustin May going to do for the Dodgers in the playoffs? Yeah, but exactly. Make everybody nervous if you're a Dodger fan. So a lot of crazy stuff. You did a good job of breaking that down. You know, just hitting the refresh button. You know, scrolling down and refreshing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Getting that info out there.
I may have missed a few things, but there was a lot going on. A lot of little moves to me. Nothing like earth-shattering. I mean, maybe the Mariners were the team. I was like, okay, Geno Suarez.
They upgraded the offense.
Like that was the big one for them yesterday, and that feels like the big one. Correa maybe to the Astros today. That's probably the other big
one. Whatever. whatever on that guy and that franchise.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it as always. We'll be back August 9th for Central Valley Sports Report. Exciting times. It'll be 10 to noon on Saturday starting August 9th live for First String Sports. So, Paul, we'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live on this Thursday afternoon. Big thanks to Paul Metters for joining us in the previous segment. Paul Metters, of course, the host of the Central Valley Sports Report, which makes its glorious return on August 9th. That is two Saturdays from now, so that'll be live from 10 a.m. to noon. Of course, if you can't wait till then, you've got all of those on-demand shows of Paul Metters' Central Valley Sports Report you can listen to on 1430 ESPN and 1430ESPN.com, so be sure to check it out there. While we get this segment started, I do have some updates on the schedule. I also want to give you folks an idea of what's coming up tonight. Of course, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock, the Hall of Fame game live from Canton, Ohio, 5 p.m. Kickoff time for the Chargers and the Lions. That's right. So we will be stepping aside at 5 p.m. for that edition of football brought to you by Westwood One at 790. You'll have the Grizzlies and the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes at 6:35 pregame, 6:50 first pitch. Tim Slack on the call. Tomorrow, we will have Sportsline Bulldog Hour Tony D from 2 to 3. We will have my show from 3 to 3:40 because the Giants are in New York to take on the Mets. The Giants are a game below 500 for the first time all year, playing a game tomorrow against the New York Mets. Rock bottom. Yaz just got traded. Camilo Duvall just got traded. Tyler Rogers got traded yesterday. So a lot of things changing for this Giants team who appears to be maybe waving the white flag officially. Giants baseball back Saturday as well, 12:40 p.m. with a 1:10 first pitch from New York. And then they'll be on Sunday, 10:10 a.m. with a 10:40 first pitch from New York on Sunday as well. We will have A's baseball on 790 all weekend. The A's and the Arizona Diamondbacks, who will be matching up with each other, they'll be going. And then Grizzlies baseball will be on Sunday as well, 4:50 first pitch with a 4:50 pregame with a 5:05 first pitch. I got Julia here sitting next to me, a known Giants fan. And, Jorge, you've been producing today. I apologize, Jorge. I did not give you a proper introduction at all in the show. I just went right through it. So, Jorge, appreciate it for producing today. I apologize that I'm introducing you 52 minutes into the show, but here you are.
It's all right. There's no need for me to, you know, take all the light.
Jorge, you matter. You matter, Jorge. It's fine. Julia is here as well. Julia, how are we doing on this this Thursday as well?
I'm doing all right. Mike Yastrzemski was my favorite player, so I'm feeling a little devastated right now.
Are you in your feelings?
I'm in my feelings.
You're in your feelings.
Yes.
Jorge, how do you feel about the Yaz trade? Yaz is gone. No more Mike Yastrzemski on the San Francisco Giants. How do you feel?
That's a very interesting trade. Very interesting. I didn't see it coming. I knew it was an option. Although I think I thought others were gonna go. Like you kept saying Duvall was gonna go, and I kept saying no, even though I knew he probably was gonna go.
You were denying yourself that as far as that's concerned. So,
but I did not see this one coming. He was playing well. Even yesterday, he dove for a ball and out and in the outfield for a foul ball. And he ended up getting it. It was pretty cool play. But, I don't know. I don't think it's still processed yet. So I'm still like, I don't know what to think about it.
You're in your feels. I get it, Jorge. You're in your feels as well.
I'm not really in the feels yet. I don't really, yeah. I don't
not
know.
For Mike Yastrzemski, no?
I,
The only thing I think about with Mike Yastrzemski is my eternal hatred for him for a while before I started being like, okay, I can be okay with him. But the other thing I know about Mike Yastrzemski is anytime I attended a San Francisco Giants game and Mike Yastrzemski was in the lineup, I guarantee you Mike Yastrzemski was hitting a home run. I swear every single game Mike Yastrzemski was a Giant and I was in the building, he hit a home run, especially, I think, a splash hit home run particularly. So I was whatever the opposite of kryptonite is for Mike Yastrzemski, that was me. So that's what we got. I'm curious to see what we will put out in the outfield. Maybe this opens up the idea of calling up some guys and making the young guys play. I like Grant McRae last year and what he brought, so maybe we see him a little bit make his first appearance up into the big league squad. Allows for guys to get their opportunity for playing time. Camilo Duvall got traded for 4 prospects. I think that's a haul, honestly, from the New York Yankees. So I do feel like the Yankees trade for Duvall is a good move for the Giants. So frustrated that it is the Yankees that do get him, because the Yankees are just adding and adding and adding to their bullpen. But that's me being a Red Sox fan. Sad to see Duvall go, or was it a rocky relationship? I'll start with Julia.
I'm a little bit disappointed because I did see great potential in him, and he did have moments where I was like, you know, I thought he was really good, but yeah, as time went, he wasn't as important to me, and I feel like he just got less and less. I don't know. He just wasn't doing as good, so yeah. I'm not as – I think I'm okay with that one.
Jorge, what about you? In 20 seconds, Duvall gone.
It's an up and down relationship. But honestly, he did well when he was with the Giants, and I like to think that he's got a pretty good career ahead of him. He's still young, man. He's a young prospect. Well, I wouldn't say prospect, but he's a young pitcher. So
he's got a future.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Which is frustrating because now he's a Yankee. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, another hour of our show right after this on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live for one more hour of our show as we are here live from Fashion Furniture. I apologize. I just ate a couple slices of pizza. I was hungry. And if I, sound like I'm just finishing up that, that is what's happening. So we are here live for another hour. Like I said, 4 o'clock hour, 4:03 on the dot. You've heard the expression, time flies when you're having fun. Well, it's been 65 years for Fashion Furniture of them having fun. And it's time to celebrate with savings throughout the store and Fashion's anniversary event. That's right. Great values throughout the store, special purchases, reclining furniture, and they can even design your home. Plus, special gifts to all those celebrating the 25, 35, 45, 55, 65 plus years of marriage. We're celebrating those with this and Fashion Furniture's 65th anniversary celebration. There is nothing like it in the state of California. So come on down. We're here for another hour until we sign off for the Hall of Fame game. That's right, the Hall of Fame game preseason between the Lions and the Chargers starting at 5 p.m. All right, we are here, like I said, and we are going to discuss some of the NFL stuff here now and the NFL side of things as far as preseason is concerned. Of course, we open up with a top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure. A little bit of breaking news. Terry McLaurin has announced that he is requesting a trade from the Washington Commanders. kind of figured this could be in the cards as far as that's concerned, although I did feel like the Commanders would be a very formidable team if they had this core together. But it sounds like because he's not getting that extension that the Commanders are now being on the clock as far as getting a deal done. Do I think a deal is done? No, I feel like this is very late in the game as far as this concerned. So I don't know what this is going to require as far as that's concerned. I feel like a team like the Niners would be invested in potentially adding a Terry McLaurin to that situation, but I don't believe that is in the card as far as that's concerned. So going to be interesting to watch what we have as far as the NFL season is concerned, right? Where the battles are going to be concerned as far as that's concerned. Who's going to be the most interesting teams to watch in the preseason as far as that's concerned. So, Jorge's here producing. Julia's sitting next to me. And I'm going to create an impromptu game here with all of us on the airwaves. Are you guys ready for an impromptu game?
I'm ready.
On the air? Jorge, you ready? Okay. Yes. This is You jumped the gun on the 50 states in 50 days trivia music.
Oh, my bad.
That's not what we were
you
doing.
You said game, and I was like, okay, maybe he wants game show music. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Jorge discovered some new music today at the station, and he was playing around with it, and there you go. We might be hearing that a lot more as far as that's concerned. I want to do this. We're going to each do three. We're going to do a draft here of three teams in the NFL. And what I want you guys to do with me, and if you indulge me in this as far as that's concerned, I want you to pick the most intriguing teams you want to watch in the preseason this year as far as that's concerned. So we are starting preseason football tonight, of course, like I said, with Chargers and Lions. But I'm interested to see who you're going to be watching most in this preseason. What are the teams you're most interested in seeing? And what the battles are, what's going to be fascinating about what they're going to be doing as far as a team is concerned. You have 32 teams to select from, and so I'm curious if that is where people value what they're going to be watching in terms of the preseason. So with that in mind, should I go first to give you guys like my first pick, and then you guys can kind of follow from that, and we'll gamify it a little bit, see who is drafted the most interesting roster of teams. Jorge, are you ready for this?
I have no idea what I'm going to do. So you could go ahead first.
Who are you most interested in watching in the preseason? It's quite simply that, as far as that's concerned. I think the number one team that I think I'm most interested in watching is the New Orleans Saints. Simply in the idea of it, am I really going to read the tea leaves right with this Jake Haener quarterback battle thing situation that's concerned? Is that really what I'm hearing as far as the buzz is concerned coming out of New Orleans as far as the quarterback position is concerned? So the Saints, coming off of what Derek Carr provided to them, and of course he is now retired from the NFL, I think the Saints are going to be interesting in that aspect. I don't think they're an interesting team, but I am curious what kind of battle I'm going to watch with the quarterback position because, frankly, I don't know if the Saints know what they're doing. And so we're going to see who performs well. Jake had a decent preseason the last couple of years, so I think there's a good opportunity he could perform well in these games in this preseason. He starts with a game in L.A. against the Chargers, so fascinating to see what that'll turn out to be. But I'm going to start with the Saints here as my number one pick. Who wants to go next? Jorge, Julia, who wants to go next here in this exercise?
I mean, I'm ready.
You ready?
Jorge's not ready quite yet.
I'll give Jorge the next pick after Julia. So Julia's going to go next. Jorge, you're going to go right after Julia. So Julia, who's a team you're interested in watching in the preseason?
Okay, so this could be biased, but I do have reasons for it. I'm interested in watching the Vikings.
Okay.
Because J.J. McCarthy,
it is an interesting team.
Yeah. My only thing, I don't know if we're going to see him at all in the preseason just because injuries and things like that. But I definitely will be watching them, not only from the fan side, but just how they look.
Okay. That is an intriguing team because obviously we know what the coaching staff is capable of, and they have a decent amount of talent on the roster, especially defensively. J.J. McCarthy is a fascinating case of, is this actually going to work for them moving forward, and what kind of playing time will they allow him to get to? Because, let's be frank, it's been next to none as far as his experience in the preseason. It's from, obviously, last year's preseason injury. So, Jorge, have you cooked up a pick yet for you as far as the team you want to watch? Who are you going to – what's the first team you're interested in watching in the preseason?
Yeah, I think I want to watch the Steelers to see – they have a, you know, Aaron Rodgers with them to see, and I want to know what's going on over there. But honestly, I really want to see – they made the playoffs last year. Is that team still a playoff team? I mean, I kind of want to know.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, of course, with all their cast of characters. I'm curious what kind of playing time they'll get in the preseason, but it just seems like this is a team that is a boom or bust kind of vibe to them, in my opinion. I think there's a lot to pay attention to as far as that's concerned. So good pick there, Jorge, on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We won't do a snake draft. I'll just kind of go next here, and then we'll keep going down the line. I'm going to pick the Tennessee Titans here. Just in the fact I want to see what the rookie quarterback is going to look like in Cam Ward, and if this team is better than people advertise, I have this weird sneaking suspicion that the Titans are just going to be a little more frustrating in play than how bad they were previous year ago. I think the Titans have a lot of upside with Ward because I think Ward is the best quarterback rookie out there as far as coming into this season is concerned. So I'll watch some Titans football in the preseason. Maybe I won't watch it during the regular season, but I do love watching some of these rookie quarterbacks when they things start as far as that's concerned. So let me pick the Tennessee Titans here. Julia, what do you got next?
I think I'm going to take the Detroit Lions just because I'm curious to see if they've improved, if they look the same, if they look like they could be a Super Bowl winning team this year. So I'm really curious about this team and just to see how they've improved in the offseason.
Studying the enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you get to watch them tonight right after this show.
Yes.
So there you go. You get an opportunity to do so. Or, hey, what's your second team you're most interested in watching in the preseason?
I want to watch your Patriots. I want to see if your coach is still, you know, does he still have it? Because, I mean, he had it with Tennessee. I thought he was doing a good job there. But is he going to be, you know, comfortable in his whole house or is things going to change? I want to see what's going on over there.
Yeah, the Patriots, Drake May, second-year quarterback. I always argue that second-year guys don't do very well. And so can he adjust to what the league's adjusted to him? Is Vrabel the right voice for that team? Is the defense going to be much improved in terms of what Vrabel is bringing because of what his prowess is concerned? Is Stephon Diggs completely healthy? I surely don't think we're going to see him much, but it sounds like the wide receivers for the Patriots on the rookie side are really eye-popping. So I think the Patriots certainly have a lot of popularity in terms of what they're going to be paying attention to. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick there, Jorge, as far as the Patriots are concerned. I have one final pick. There are a few. I really don't want to leave off the board. For the sake of going for a more wide base breadth of athletes, I'm not going to – or types of teams. I'm not going to pick a certain team. I'm actually going to see – just going through it, I think I'm interested in seeing what the Raiders have to offer. I think I'm going to see what the Raiders have to offer as far as Pete Carroll, how they go about their business. Are they going to be a disciplined team? Are they going to look a lot more disciplined as far as that's concerned? I don't know how much play time we're going to see from Ashton Jeanty. I know he's verifiably probably going to be the number one starter for them at the running back position. I wonder what kind of play time we see from Geno Smith. He might get a series or two. But the Raiders are going to kind of trial it with this Pete Carroll regime, and I think it's going to be interesting, especially, by the way, they go to Seattle to start their preseason. It's going to be interesting to see Pete Carroll on the other sideline of that. I know it doesn't mean much when it comes to the preseason side of things, but I'm fascinated to see what this Raider squad can look like in this preseason. Discipline, team discipline, what does that look like, and what can they do moving forward as a team in terms of what they're going to look like? So I'm going to go Raiders here at my third team pick. Julia, what do you got?
I think I'm going to take the Rams.
Okay.
I mean, we saw them yesterday. I definitely want to watch them more in a game situation with pads on and everything and see how they do. I know we won't see Stafford in the preseason, I'm sure, but I'm just curious to see how they look in that game situation.
Okay, interesting. Rams there. Of course, they go against the Cowboys to start their preseason in a couple Saturdays from now. Jorge, you got one more team to pick. What do you got?
You know, there's a lot of stories out there of teams that are, like, I don't know, being weird and acting, you know, there's new coaches and all this stuff, but I think I'm going with the Cowboys.
Cowboys. All right.
Yeah, they're apparently, the coach, you know, made him do laps this morning or the other day because they got in a fight. And not just them, but also the coaches. So
really?
there's something there that of discipline that's being put in there that wasn't there before. So we'll see. We'll see what if this is more of a show or if this is actual, you know, going to translate well in the regular season.
I think that's a good pick there, and so that'll be interesting to see where that all leads to as far as that's concerned. I have some honorable mentions that we didn't pick, and agree with me if you have it. The Colts are an interesting team with Richardson versus Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's an interesting – I almost kind of akin them to the Saints. They're kind of like the AFC version of the Saints to me, where I'm like, I don't really know what kind of juice they have, but it's surely going to be weird and interesting. The Browns, they have four quarterbacks that are going to be playing in the preseason for them, and it sounds like they're even going to try to move one of them at the end of the preseason to see if they have value for it. That'll be interesting as far as that's concerned. The Giants with the rookie quarterback and what the Giants will be looking like, especially with second-year guys like Malik Nabers and how they're integrating as far as that's concerned. And maybe the Jets. I think the Jets are my final, like, I'm curious what that team will look like, especially with what Justin Fields is going to be and what that offense could look like in this preseason. Is it going to be an abject disaster, or is it actually going to work out for this New York Jets team? So those are some teams. Any other teams that I mentioned or didn't mention that you guys are interested in that were on your boards?
I'm interested in the Seahawks. I want to see Sam Darnold, how he is with them. Just kind of for my sake from when he was on the Vikings, how he looks with the Seahawks, so it'll be a team that I'm paying attention to.
Well, hey, what about you?
I had the Commanders. I had in my head the Browns. You know, just this Falcons because they're all over the place. But you know, it's just teams that are, you know, either having quarterback troubles or they're got new coaches and stuff like that. There's so many, you know, storylines out there that you know, in the regular season that's gonna be, you know, trouble or something.
I'll shout out the Chiefs as well, just simply for our guys who are battling in those depth positions, especially a wide receiver. I'll shout out the Chiefs in terms of that as well. So it's gonna be interesting this preseason. Like I said, I kind of pick my favorites and then I kind of just pay attention from there as far as that's concerned. So of course we get started with the Hall of Fame game tonight between the LA Chargers excuse me, the LA Chargers and the Detroit Lions. Excuse me. Class of 2025 for the Hall of Fame. They have four players inducted this year. Excuse me. Are you excited about this class, Jorge? Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and Sterling Sharp. Do you feel old yet, seeing that these guys are going into the Hall of Fame?
I do feel old because I saw most of them play. I saw most of them play, and it's just, you know, it reminds me of, you know, how football used to be played. It was very, I don't know, it feels like it changed a lot, but it didn't change a lot. It's just a weird feeling I have. But this is a pretty good class. Some guys that really deserve to be up there.
I think Jared Allen might have the best speech of the day, in my opinion. I'm curious to see what he'll talk about. He was a character when he was playing.
Did he already say it? I think
no, he's on Saturday.
The speeches on Saturday.
Yeah. So Jared Allen will be fascinating, I'm sure, in terms of that. He's interesting. Okay. All right, let's take a break, Jorge. And when we come back, we're going to do our big opponent preview for Fresno State, Colorado State, San Diego State. We're going to break it down next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back in hour number two of our show, and we are in the midst of one of our opponent previews for Fresno State, which we're about halfway through the schedule now in discussing these teams that are coming up for the season. And one of them, we're going to cover Colorado State and San Diego State today. And frankly, I think I'm more interested in talking about Colorado State as a team, because I think they've got a lot more fascinating facets to their game and what their season is going to look like coming up this season. Colorado State, interesting team. Interesting team coming into this season for the Bulldogs. And so, Julia, you're here. You've been doing some research on them. What stands out about the 2024 Colorado State Rams and where they stand coming in?
Yeah, so last year, taking a look in, they went 8-5 overall. That was the first time this team had done it since 2014. They were 6-1 in conference. And if you look after the Texas game where they lost like 51-0, 7 out of the next 9 games were decided by 14 points or fewer. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important to note. And if not for the loss against Fresno State last year, which was 28-22, they would have been in the Mountain West Conference.
Fresno State spoiling the party. That was the whole thing about the home finale last year, if I recall.
Yes, I definitely think they are going to be out for blood this year, and so that is definitely important to note with this team from last year.
Yeah, Colorado State, interesting, right? And I was kind of nagging them last year because I saw they were playing one of the easiest Mountain West schedules I had ever seen. I mean, listen to this. Quote-unquote murderer's row of opponents: San Jose State, Air Force, New Mexico, Nevada, Wyoming, Utah State. Felt like Fresno State was really the only formidable team they were playing last year on the schedule. They avoided the tough UNLV team. They avoided Boise. They avoided even Hawaii, who was frisky last year. I'm trying to name just a few of those teams that were formidable in the Mountain West. And so it just felt like Colorado State got by easy. And so when I was sitting there watching and predicting and getting ready for that Week 11 game against Colorado State, I thought Fresno State was ready, primed, and able to go beat them. And they did. They beat them handily. It felt like, I know it was a close game, 28-22. It wasn't close. I believe they scored with, like, less than a minute to go to cut it to a one-possession game. So, and I remember the end of that game being a little frustrating as a Bulldog fan, because it was like, come on, guys, make it happen. Well, the defense showed up for the most part in that one. I thought the Bulldogs played well for the most part. And then the second half, it kind of slowed down, but that was the MO of the Bulldogs last year, is the second half of games were not there for them. Colorado State is a team you got to jump in front of, I believe, right? It's a team you have to force them to get to the one dimension. You have to force them to get to the pass. And despite them having a quarterback that's pretty notable, right, Julia? Fowler Nicolosi, is back again.
Yes, he is.
He is a notable figure in college football, not simply because of his play, but simply because I think he is a talker. I think he is a guy that's unafraid of who he is on the field. He is a guy with confidence. We saw it a couple of years ago when him and Shedeur Sanders were going at it up the football field in that Colorado State game. So he's an interesting figure who is gaining reps, gaining play time, and is a guy who maybe feels like, for in the landscape of college football, has kind of seen it all, really. And so that's where I sit with this Colorado State team. It's like, it's a quarterback who has experience. And so anytime you play a guy like that, things are going to be a little more formidable for them. So what stood out from the quarterback position from him? Because it feels like he's got an interesting edge as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, so he, last year, he threw for over 2,700 yards, 14 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He's been a starter for this team, been really good. He is someone that, like you said, he's a talker. He's someone to look out for. He's going to come in with a lot of confidence. He's going to want to beat this Fresno State team, and that's something that you want to know. I feel like he's going to be talking to this team ready to come for them.
Junior quarterback who was quite an interesting figure. They don't lean on him a lot, right? It seemed like they leaned on the run game a lot more as they did. And quite simply, if you look at last year's game and the recipe of last year's game, Fresno State jumped out to a 28-7 lead at the half, and it just felt like Colorado State was getting in its own way offensively. And that's the key to everything when it comes to that. Problem is, it's a short week. It's one of the only short week games that Fresno State has. It's a Friday. And so they have to really turn around and get ready for this thing with a day less on the calendar. Is that an edge for Colorado State? I got to imagine so, just simply based off of the travel of that thing. I'm wondering if Colorado State has a road game before that, or if they're home again, or if they're on a bye. That's going to really hurt the Bulldogs as far as that's concerned. Taking a look at the Colorado State schedule ahead of time, they are on the road coming back from a game in San Diego. But I do believe, if I'm doing the math right in my head, is that correct that the San Diego State game's a Friday night as well? So they get a whole full week before this Fresno State game, and yet Fresno State is going to have 6 days to prepare for Colorado State and be on the short week. So Colorado State gets the rest advantage by a day. I'm a little peeved about that, that advantage for them, as they come from San Diego State. Unfair? I'm going to say yeah, but I hope it's not going to affect the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is going to be a tough game. And so having less days is definitely of concern. I just wanted to note, you talked about their run game. Their starting running back, Avery Morrow, is no longer with the team. He ran for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. But they do have running back Justin Marshall, who was a redshirt freshman, appeared in 13 games, had 4 touchdowns and 746 yards on 154 carries.
Yeah, he's a sophomore, so he's kind of in that Bryson Donaldson range of where we're relying on a sophomore running back. They're going to be relying on a sophomore running back, so who's going to win out on that? It's going to be interesting to see what he can do to kind of carry the load. He was productive, as you said, a redshirt freshman, so he's got some ability in that term as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, the run game is going to be really interesting. Anything to add? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're good. I was just going to say that in the season opener at Texas, he ran for 106 yards. He's only one of 3 backs to rush over 100 yards against the Longhorns. So I think he's definitely going to be a threat that they should be paying attention to going into this game.
Jorge, requesting your presence here in this conversation. Does Colorado State scare you as a game because of the short weakness of it, them going 6-1 in the Mountain West? If we hadn't beaten them, they would be a Mountain West championship attendee. Is Colorado State a top 3 difficult game for the Bulldogs on the schedule? Or is this the one you're eyeing as a trap game for them?
No, not as a trap game, but definitely a difficult game. I think this is going to be one of those games where you have to be ready for. You have to know what you're going to do beforehand and who the opponent is. But it's not like a live or die game, you know? It's not one of those games.
I can push back on that a little bit because it feels like in the Mountain West you don't get as many opportunities to get to that championship. So live and die. I mean, if you drop this game as a road game, I'm curious what Colorado State has on the Mountain West schedule. So, like, if we have common opponents against them, they're certainly going to be facing tough teams, tougher teams in the Mountain West, in my opinion. They have certain losses that I could see scheduled on the schedule here. I'm looking at UNLV, a game in November that they could lose to. They could lose to Boise in Boise on the November 22nd. So if you're going to go on the head-to-head side of things, can Colorado State go, 5-2 in the Mountain West this year as far as that's concerned? That could be a distinct possibility as far as that's concerned. It's just a matter of if Fresno State can take the opportunity. I'd like to have the head-to-head with them because, obviously, I think we have a little bit of a tough stretch in our schedule with having Boise as well on our docket. So getting this win over Colorado State, I think, is paramount because it feels like this is one of the few teams that could jump you. Despite having maybe one Mountain West loss, they could have the tiebreaker, maybe lose to Boise State, and they have a one they'd have a one-loss tie with us, but having the head-to-head tiebreaker or whatever the rules are in the Mountain West, I just don't want to get into that kind of business with Colorado State in terms of that, because sometimes you run into it. That's just not a fun thing to be a part of as far as that's concerned. I quite simply believe it is the importance is just getting out to a lead on them. It was just like last year. Get out to a lead, frustrate them offensively, make them one-dimensional. It's as simple of a game plan to execute. It's just quite simply, can you do it there? And let's be frank, Colorado State has not been kind to Fresno State when we go out to Fort Collins. Trust me, I've been there. I saw Michael Gallup absolutely destroy a Fresno State defense, and I think we lost 40-3 or something like that. Those were the dark days for Fresno State football. I would not like to see that happen again in Fort Collins. I believe this is the weird quirk where Fresno State is playing in that new stadium, which has been built for about like 7 years now, 8 years now. It's the first time they're going to be playing in that stadium, quite simply because I think they were originally scheduled to play them in 2020, and COVID and everything like that switched around the schedule, and they couldn't play them anymore over there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a fascinating game, and I kind of can't wait to see what that's going to break down to. Anything else in Colorado State before we move on?
I mean, they lost their top six tacklers. I think that's a big thing to know. So I definitely agree. I think just jumping on them and getting ahead early is going to be what shuts them down.
Yeah. I don't know what they did in the transfer portal to really make things a difference as far as that's concerned. It looks like they added a safety in from a Holy Cross team that was pretty decent last year. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch for as far as that's concerned. But other than that, they didn't really add D1 talent in terms of the transfer portal is concerned. So Colorado State, a dangerous game, but I wouldn't say it is a I don't think we should lose that game, in my opinion. It's a game that Fresno State probably should get as far as that's concerned. A game that I think Fresno State should definitely get is a San Diego State game today or this year as well, right? And that's who we play after that, right? San Diego State takes on Bulldogs in Fresno as far as a home game, right? They're back in Fresno as far as that's concerned. Julia, when do we play them? We play them October 25th. I got them there. What do we know about San Diego State from a year ago?
Yeah, so in the 2024 season, San Diego State was only 3-9 and 2-5 in conference. They averaged just 21.3 points per game, which is ranked number 116 in the nation. Not very good offensively.
Bad.
Yes, very bad offensively. So they just haven't been really a great team. Their coach, Sean Lewis, is in his second year for the Aztecs, but has not really been able to bring this team together.
I'm looking at this preview about San Diego State, and they're trying to do this thing called Aztec Fast Attack. Have you been reading up on this thing? It sounds like they're trying to supposedly – fly at 1,000 miles per hour. Defenses can't keep up, and as the name says, it's fast, 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 but it just didn't really quite take off for the Aztecs. Playing fast led them to some quick turnover on down situations. They had to punt real quickly, and quite frankly, I think you can't get in a rhythm if you go fast the entire time, especially if you're trying to go fast on offense and then the other team goes 7 minutes on a drive that ends up scoring. Where's your momentum, right? It's like shooting the basketball with 18 on the shot clock. It's just not going to get you in any rhythm in basketball on the attack. So interesting in concept, and maybe they've added players that more fit that kind of style of play. That's what's going to be interesting to me of whether San Diego State legitimately actually got improved in the talent department. But they don't scare me except for the fact that Fresno State inexplicably can't play well against San Diego State in any form or fashion. The last games that Fresno State's played against San Diego State have all been one possession, it feels like, or at least in some form or fashion where Fresno State's really struggled. So that's the only thing I'm, like, worried about in this game is, can Fresno State just show up against San Diego State in this home game?
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like they really underestimate San Diego State in a lot of ways almost every time they play them. And so I feel like that is definitely the biggest concern. My only thing was they added a dual threat quarterback, Jaden Denegal.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Michigan. He was a reserve under J.J. McCarthy in the national championship era, but he didn't play much in 2024. So I feel like it'll be interesting. We'll have to see more of him when he is actually playing with them. He's my only kind of not – he's not even a concern, really, but I feel like he is something that they should pay attention to.
Dedeville's a big guy. I'm looking at his measurements. 6'5", 235 in the town department as far as that's concerned. So he looks more – is he more prototypical as far as that's concerned? And then they got this dual threat guy, Bert Emanuel Jr., right? Who sounds like he's more of the rushing threat. So if they go into like a more of a wildcat pistol situation, Fresno State's got to be on their toes as far as going up against San Diego State in that department. So, and that's the issue, right? San Diego State a couple years ago just absolutely ran all over our defense a couple years ago, and that really led to that season-ending loss that was just really tough to kind of swallow as far as the way Bulldogs were playing football at the tail end of 2023. So I got to imagine that the Bulldogs are going to try to be a lot better as far as the run defense is concerned. Jorge, you recall that, right? It feels like stopping the run, keeping them off the field. If they're going to try to play fast, it's important to go three and out on that defensive side against San Diego State, not allow them to just keep going chunk by chunk down the field.
Yeah, those were definitely difficult teams to play, but I feel like this is a totally different team. They've been picked to finish eighth in the Mountain West, so, you know, that's like three spots below Fresno State. So I don't know if they have the same talent that they used to have, and I think that's probably why, you know, they're so low on the preseason bowl.
Here are your wins for San Diego State last year. A 45-14 win over Texas A&M Commerce. Good luck telling me where that is, other than don't tell me just the state of Texas. And then they won by three over Hawaii and over Wyoming. And then that's it. They won by a combined 6 points against the FBS schools last year. So they were as short of potentially being a disaster as they could be as far as that's concerned. And they really were down the stretch, losing to Boise, losing to Mexico, losing to UNLV, Utah State, Air Force, most by double digits there in terms of that. Really close 3-point loss to Washington State, who is an interesting team. But San Diego State, we'll wonder if they're going to be improved as far as that's concerned. The defense was just awful for them, and so you have to exploit that as far as a team is concerned. And so we'll see. We'll see what the Aztecs look like. They're certainly not the Aztecs of old that we're used to as far as a team that's going to be formidable against this Bulldog side. They're going to the Pac-12. They need a lot of momentum. I got to imagine there's some desperation with San Diego State, especially being one of the teams that's going into the Pac-12 as far as that's concerned. So I'm wondering if that's going to be a factor as far as where the money is going to come from as far as the players they're trying to bring in. So it's going to be interesting. Is there anything else of note for San Diego State there, Julia, in your mind?
One of their running backs, Marquez Cooper, he accounted for all but 300 of the rushing yards, rushing for over 1,000 yards. He is now gone.
Okay.
So that is definitely notable.
They're going to have to replace his production, so that makes me feel even a little bit better about that San Diego State game. But let's be honest, folks. Last time Fresno State played San Diego State at Bulldog Stadium, it took a minor miracle for us to get the win. Remember that. It took the onside kick recovery to make things happen with about a minute to go. And, of course, it was Jake Haner, right, Jorge, that led the comeback to win in that last-second crazy game against San Diego State a few years back.
San Diego State? Yeah, with Jake Haner, yeah.
Yeah, with that onside kick and then throwing it to Armijo, ended up scoring, I believe, to win the football game. So crazy stuff. Okay. Well, there are your opponent previews. We'll do more next week as far as that's concerned, so stay tuned for that. And we're excited. We are so close to Fresno State football season. I can taste it. I can taste it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, send you to the Hall of Fame game coming up next. Next, we're going to be doing the 50 States in 50 Days trivia on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
But when things fall into
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We were relocating, of course, and Jorge, I apologize for the heart attack. We were relocating to our command center of the week. So hopefully we didn't miss the train as it was leaving. We're hitting it right there and then, as far as that's concerned. We good, Jorge? We good on the technical side?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, just buzzer beating it right there. We're in the Southern Motion, the world's expert in reclining furniture with a $99.95 swivel base upgrade that can be added to every manual rocker recliner. Look, I can go 360 degrees in this recliner that I'm currently sitting in. Julia is like looking at this, and she's about to lose her headset if I do it. So I'm not going to continue to do so, or we might lose the headset. Sorry, Julia, if you lose your mic there. This recliner allows you, with the swivel base, you don't need to get up to see who's at the door. You can spin around. Someone in the kitchen, you go spin there. You don't have to crane your neck. Make life simple with a swivel base on any Southern Motion manual recliner and fashion furniture with more than 200 in stock. There are Fresno's recliner store. There you go. All right, we're closing out the show with some 50 states and 50 days trivia, and we're going to two states today. Jorge, Julia, are you guys ready for the two states we have today, which I believe Minnesota and Ohio? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sure.
Jorge, you ready? All right. Number three athlete from the state of Minnesota. This athlete is a first-team All-Pro. He's an 11-time Pro Bowler and became the youngest player in NFL history to reach 1,000 career receptions.
Wait, are we in Minnesota right now?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Native. 2008 first-team All-Pro, 11-time Pro Bowler, and became the youngest player in NFL history to reach 1,000 career receptions.
11-time.
Okay. You said how many times Pro Bowler?
11. From 05 all the way to 17.
Wide receiver, right?
Wide receiver. Holds multiple all-time receiving records for the lone franchise he played for.
Oh, 05 to win?
17.
Is it Calvin Johnson?
It is not Calvin Johnson. Not Calvin Johnson. Julia, got a guess, or I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, I know, just go for it.
Wait, 17 what? I didn't hear what else you said. 17.
2005 to 17. Too late.
Okay, go.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, my God.
Larry Fitzgerald is who you're looking for.
From Minnesota?
That's a tough one. He's from Minnesota. That is correct.
Mm, that is okay. A terrible
Larry
loss on my part.
Born and raised in Minnesota. All right, number two athlete in state of Minnesota. A 6-time MLB All-Star. He won the American League MVP in 2009. He is a 3-time Gold Glove winner, 5-time Silver Slugger, and he is elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame last summer. All right. Some thinking faces here.
Okay, last summer.
When was he playing? Like, what year did he play in?
06, I would say 06 to like 2013 was his prime. He is the only catcher in Major League Baseball history to have at least 2,000 hits and a career batting average over 300.
Catcher, you said.
Is it Buster Posey?
It is not Buster Posey.
I was
going to
say.
Not Buster, because Buster's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Oh, duh.
Only catcher in American League history with 3 batting titles, 2006, 2008, 2009. He played for his hometown team.
In Minnesota.
Okay. He's a twin.
Yeah. Come on. I'm laying it up for you. We got to run out of time here. So I'm going to go 3. I'm going to go 2.
I know.
You guys are going to go for 2. Wow, this is such a layup.
I'm picturing his face
Joe
right now.
Mauer. Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer is who you're looking for. Jorge, man, was Joe Mauer kicking around in your head?
Not in the – no. Mm-mm.
Wow.
No, okay. I had no idea.
Rough.
I was so lost.
Have you ever heard of Joe Mauer? Are you kidding me? All right. Jorge needs coffee. Number one athlete, according to ESPN, for the state of Minnesota is a two-time Olympian, six-time Olympic medalist, won two gold, one silver, three bronze, is the Glamour's 2024 Women of the Year NCAA champ in beam, SEC champ in bars, U.S. champion in bars. It's the first Asian American to win the Olympic all-around title, as well as the first Hmong American to compete for Team USA in gymnastics.
It's Suni Lee.
Suni
right?
Lee, yes. Is who you're looking for there. All right, we are not Ofer right. from the state of Minnesota.
Woo.
Jorge, were you anywhere close to Suni Lee? Did you have any realm of
idea?
No idea. Other athletes born in the state of Minnesota: Terrell Suggs, Kevin McHale, Brianna Scurry, Lindsey Whalen, Paige Beckers, Roger Maris, Paul Molitor, Dave Winfield, Jack Morris, Lindsey Vonn, Phil Housley, Zach Parise, Tom Lehman. All right, Ohio. And let's be honest, you guys should go 3 for 3 on this one. This athlete, number 3 ranked in the state of Ohio, athlete is a 4-time NBA champion and a finals MVP, 2-time NBA MVP, 2-time scoring champ, 11-time All-NBA player.
Okay, so it's someone, like, very famous.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
So, like, LeBron or something?
It's not LeBron.
Is it Steph?
It is Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, okay.
Steph Curry. Yeah.
I just needed to eliminate LeBron.
Someone had to do it.
He is the most NBAs and threes have made in NBA history. He's the only player in NBA history to be named unanimous MVP, which was in 2016. Number 2 athlete from the state of Ohio is an 11-time Olympic medalist, tied for the second most by a female gymnast. She won 7 Olympic gold medals, most by a U.S. gymnast.
It's Simone Biles, right?
It is Simone Biles. You know your gymnasts.
I do kind of pay attention to gymnastics in the Olympics.
Simone Biles. All right, let's see. I'm sure you'll get this one. This player is a 4-time NBA champion, 4-time NBA MVP, 4-time NBA Finals MVP, 21-time All-NBA player.
LeBron James.
We know who this is.
LeBron James.
Yeah. LeBron James. This is why I was like, State of Ohio is this layup of layups if I've ever seen one, as far as that's concerned. So there you go, LeBron James. You guys, I think, did okay. I will say it hurt to not have Larry Fitzgerald, Joe Mauer.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Be picked.
That was rough.
Joe Mauer. This shows how underrated Joe Mauer was.
Are you sure Larry Fitzgerald from Minnesota?
I am positive. Larry Fitzgerald was a ball boy for the Minnesota Vikings. You can look up the video. There's video of him being a ball boy in Minnesota for the Vikings. Yeah. Here are some other athletes born in the state of Ohio. You got Cy Young, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Rose, Roger Clemens, Raleigh Fingers, Mike Schmidt, Barry Larkin, Charles Woodson, Russell Wilson, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, Ben Roethlisberger, Luke Kuechly, James Harrison, Chris Carter, Mike Vrabel, John Havlicek, Rose Lavelle, Jack Nicklaus, Randy Savage. So there you go. Boy, it's going to be a bloodbath tomorrow. It's Florida.
Oh, gosh.
There are a lot of athletes from Florida. Woo, boy. Curious about this top 3. It's going to be interesting. Got Florida tomorrow to close it out. All right, guys. That wraps it up for our show. Jorge, Julia, great job. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank
great
you.
Show. Great job.
We'll be back at it tomorrow, 3 o'clock, before the Giants baseball. Coming up next, NFL Hall of Fame game on 1430 ESPN. Of course, over on 790, be sure to tune into Grizzlies baseball at 6:35. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock.